Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Jack Heinrich.
Third straight game with an overtime for the Hawks. Come up short this one. After yesterday, Connor Bedard had the game-winning goal. Today, it is Steven Stamkos finishing off the hat trick. He had a goal waved off earlier due to a high stick, but he gets the hat trick later. We're going to head right back out to the Bridgestone Arena real quickly to bring in Troy Murray to recap this one. And Troy, the Hawks, I mean, they got that game-tying goal. They had one waved off, too, with Louis Crevier on that offside. Mikheyev, who's played really well, gets the game tire. But 3-on-3, pretty much anything can happen, and a lot of open ice for Stamkos to get the hat trick.
Yeah, Stamkos was good. Soderblom was excellent. Got to find a way to change these shots on goals compared to the negative side of 19-4-41 against total in this game. Stamkos was excellent, but the Hawks battled in this game. It's just amazing how other teams are able to rack up shots on goal. Stamkos ended up having 3 goals on 7 shots in this game. But there was a lot of good things happened in this game as well. The Blackhawks skated well. They've got to find ways to get pucks out of their own zone a little bit more frequently. The execution in their own end is just lacking at times, and that racks up the shots against. It's not one and done, which you want to see. And that's kind of the way the Blackhawks are a lot of the times, Jack. When they come down, they get one-shot opportunity. They're not getting the second and third chances. But they had some really good shifts in the offensive zone tonight where they had good puck possession but not really able to penetrate the middle of the ice. But there was traffic in front of Annan, the goaltender for the Preds, and he did a nice job. But, the difference in this game was Soderblom playing as well as he did. Just too many chances, prime chances against, and that's asking a lot for your goaltenders, and it's been the same way for the last little while here. They need to tighten it up in their own end. They've got a lot of inexperience on the back end. They've got 4 guys 23 years of age or under playing on a regular basis now, and they're getting better and better all the time. But, it's a tough learning curve playing at this level and against some of the best players in the world. So, it kind of is what it is. I don't know if they deserve to win this game. They certainly had a chance to win the game once it got into overtime, and they fought in this game. They battled back, and, we'll see what happens against a real good team in Colorado that beat Toronto tonight. I think it was 7-4 final.
Yeah, they scored 4 and answered in that third period, so they'll definitely have their hands full on Monday night. Ilya Mikheyev, he had that game-tying goal, like we mentioned, 4th goal in his last 6, and I think he's positive in the plus-minus this year on this Hawks team. He's just been pretty solid, kind of feels kind of under the radar for this team.
Yeah, he is. He's a quiet personality, so, not a lot of fanfare. You don't get a lot of interviews. You don't hear a lot from him. But he is a good player, and he's got a ton of speed in his game, which is imperative if you want to be successful in the game the way it is played now. And he has been great. He's got, 9 points in the last 10 games, and you mentioned 4 goals in the last 5 games. He has been plus basically all season long, and he's a plus 1 in this one. So he's plus 4 on the season, and that is amazing when you look at the goal differential of this team all season long. And for him to be above water when, and I'm not saying this, I'm just looking at some of the numbers. When, Bertuzzi comes into this game, and he's a minus 32 on the season. And, Mikheyev being a plus 3, now a plus 4, that's pretty incredible, and that's pretty impressive. And he has quietly gone about his business this year. I don't know what the plans are moving forward with Mikheyev, but, he got 14 goals on the season. He's a penalty killer. He's got the only shorthanded goal of the year for the Hawks, so he's doing a lot of good things right.
Yeah, for sure. He's had a really nice year, kind of under the radar, too. Arvid Soderblom, what'd you think? I thought he was pretty good again, and him and Spencer Knight are kind of going back and forth here with these performances.
Yeah, who can outdo who in the net? And the bad thing is you're leaving it to the goaltender to make the difference in these games, and you don't want to be in that position. You want to be in on the other side of it now, where you're having more shots on goal, more chances than the opposition team, but that's just not the way it's been. And with the inexperience that they have in the lineup, you are going to count heavily on your goaltending. Spencer Knight in his two games has been excellent. Soderblom all season long has been fantastic as well, even though his record really kind of doesn't indicate how well he has played for this team. You just got to find a way to cut down on the opposition chances, but boy, the goaltending has been there, and I think that, you know, as you move forward here, you've got a really good 1-2 punch in Knight and Soderblom, the way that they're playing, and 25 years of age for Soderblom, 23 for Spencer Knight. Goaltending hasn't been an issue. You got to figure out some other things, but the compete level is there. They're working hard. But goaltending has been a major factor in this run where they've got points in five straight games.
Yeah, definitely nice that they're both young and hopefully can grow together. Last one for you, Joe Valeno, debut. I mean, it sounded like he had a crazy travel day. I think Mark Lazarus from The Athletic said he flew to Washington yesterday. Then he was trying to fly back to Detroit. It got delayed 4 hours. And then he flew early this morning. So kind of a crazy day to be thrown in for his debut.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, you know, some of the trade day stories about travel are pretty incredible, and players are pretty resilient. But, you know, when you're doing that, you're flying to Washington, you don't know what's going to happen. You land and you find out that you've been traded. So now you're staying at the airport. You're delayed 4 hours. You're going back to Detroit. You're packing up some things to come on a 9-day road trip.
Right.
to start your career off with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, I thought he was good. He got some penalty kill time out there. If you look at it, he was 50% in the faceoff circle. He had one shot and just over 13 minutes of action. Had three hits in the game. So it's a good start for him. And I like the fact that he does have speed. He brings that element to the line. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, he'll get an opportunity to kind of get to know some of the players here on the plane trip tonight and tomorrow in Denver before they take on the Avalanche. A little bit of an opportunity for him to settle in a little bit more than a hectic travel day like it was for him today.
Yeah, I think Anders Sorensen was asked before the game about him, and he's just like, I don't know, I just met him. I got to get to know him a little bit. All right, Troy, thanks for hanging with me the last few days. I talked to Charlie today. I think he's all good, and he'll be back on Monday. So safe travels to Colorado, and I had fun with you and John the last 2 days.
Well, we appreciate it, and boy, do we really miss Charlie.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we're just, you know, it's sad that he's just not here, that he's probably listening. I hope he is listening because we do miss him. But Jackie did an excellent job, and we appreciate everything that you do behind the scenes when Charlie's doing his job as it stands right now. So great job by you. Thank you for pinching in.
Of course. Thanks, Troy. Have a safe flight, and I'll talk to you down the line on Monday.
Sounds good, Jack.
All right, that was Troy Murray. Him and John Weidman had the call. Hawks lose 3-2. You have filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. He should be back on Monday, back in the saddle today. So, tough one for the Hawks, but at least they do have points in their last five games. They're 3-0-2. And this is from Charlie, actually, on Twitter, working while he's been off, tweeting out some good nuggets today. This is the Hawks' longest point streak since February 17th through the 25th of 2023. And that was when the Hawks won five games in a row. So it's been a little while, a couple years since they've had a little success like that. But that's what you want to see with these young guys coming up, trying to build that winning culture. Colton Dock got into a fight after Barron hit Frank Nazar. Clean hit, but Colton Dock kind of setting the tone like, hey, we're a young team. We're rebuilding, but we're going to bring that physicality and trying to turn the culture. So good on Colton Dock for getting into that, protecting his teammate. Some good stuff here from Arvid Soderblom as well. He was really good again tonight. Him and Spencer and I know they made that analogy, the cross-sport baseball analogy with starting pitchers going back and forth, trying to one-up each other. I mean, Arvid Soderblom was really good again tonight in that, stopping 38 of 41 shots he faced, and the Hawks severely outshot 41-19. We got a lot to get to. We got some sound rolling in. We'll hear from Nashville. Hawks lose 3-2. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Here's Spencer Stastny over the center ice circle, breaking into the Hawks zone, hands it off. Svechkov in the slot, over to Stamkos, shoots, he scores. Hat trick for Steven Stamkos, and the game-winning goal in overtime. The goal it scored at 2:39 of OT. Nashville wins 3-2. And the ice now being showered with hats by the Nashvillians. Stamkos with two goals during the regulation portion of this game, picks up the game winner in overtime.
And that is how it ended in Nashville. Predators getting an overtime win. Steven Stamkos, all three goals for the Predators. He was the big acquisition for the Nashville Predators in the offseason. He had seven shots on goal, three goals. He had all the scoring for Nashville. So the Preds get a win. The Hawks fall in the first game of a four-game road trip. Arvid Soderblom was really good. I mean, he faced 41 shots. Last night, Spencer Knight faced 36. And I think against Ottawa, too, the Hawks were outshot again in a big margin. And then in Spencer Knight's first game, he faced 42 shots. So hopefully the Hawks can try to make it a little easier on these two goaltenders. But very bright future for both of them looks like right now. And Arvid Soderblom, we'll talk a little bit after we hear from him, but really big turnaround season for him, and good on him for putting his head down and putting in the work. Let's hear what Arvid Soderblom had to say after this one.
Yeah, of course, tough loss, but at least we got a point, and I think we had some good periods in the game where we played solid, and then periods where we had some stuff we need to clean up. And for myself, I felt like I played a pretty solid game.
Did it feel kind of similar to that game in January here?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Like a lot of shots, tight game, but it was fun game to play. So pretty similar game.
On the overtime one, what did you see? It looked like it basically turned into a 3-on-2.
Yeah, it was like a 3-on-2. I saw him coming down there for a one-timer option, but I also had to respect the shooter in the middle. That's my first option, and then he made a good pass in a one-timer. Just try to get over as quick as possible, but he obviously a good shooter, so he found the top corner.
Five-game point streak for the team now, and the goaltending has been a huge part of that. How good are you guys feeling?
Yeah, we feel good. Since Spencer came in, he's been playing well, and for me, felt good today as well. So, yeah, we push each other, and I think we can keep doing that. The rest of the year will be good.
With Spencer coming in, he's such a good puck player. Do you try to do some more of that to kind of give it consistency for the defenseman, or is there any thought about that?
Not because of him, just more I'm trying to improve my game in all areas all the time. And he's good at that. He's taking his time. He's looking where the options are. So that's the fun thing with a new guy coming in. You can pick up small details and put him in your own game. So I felt today my puck handling was pretty good.
With Seth gone, Alex has stepped into that kind of number one role. What have you seen out of him?
Yeah, he's playing great. He's playing big minutes, PP, PK. So, yeah, he's playing really good.
That was Arvid Soderblom after the game. And shout out to Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times. He helps us out on the road sending the audio so we can get it turned around quick. So thank you to Ben helping out Charlie, helping out me today, getting that quick audio. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Charlie should be back on Monday. Yeah, good stuff from Arvid Soderblom saying at least they got that point pulled out. And this Hawks team, it is big for them to just keep trying to add points and move up in the standings. Just gain that confidence for all these young guys in the lineups to know that they can compete at this level. And for Arvid Soderblom, I mean, this is a guy who last season was a tough one for him. And the Hawks bring in Laurent Brossoit because they weren't sure what they were going to have with Soderblom in the backup role. And it seemed like he was going to be a guy that was going to maybe spend a lot of time in Rockford this year. But Brossoit had the injury he was recovering from and is still recovering from, and he hasn't made it on the ice yet. And Arvid has taken advantage of that opportunity, worked really hard in the summer to improve his game, and he's now turning into a goalie that the Hawks made a decision to move on from Peter Mrazek and become a tandem for at least the foreseeable future with Spencer Knight, who looks like he could be the goalie of the future. And now you have a, like Troy was saying, a goaltender in Spencer Knight who's 23 years old, and now you have a second guy behind him, maybe 1A, 1B situation with Arvid Soderblom, who's 25. So two young goalies, 23 and 25, going into the future would be really big for the Hawks to have that as they could grow with this young team and this young core that they have going on. So really good on Arvid Soderblom, who looked like he might have been heading to Rockford at the beginning of this year, but now has found himself in a major playing time here for the Blackhawks moving forward and making him himself a part of this rebuild as the Hawks start to move out of the rebuild and moving in to hopefully trying to compete and win more games and move up the standings and be out of the lottery in the NHL draft. So Arvid Soderblom, really solid again, 38 saves on 41 shots tonight. And as Troy said, the goaltending has been the problem. They're just giving up so many shots. The Hawks only had 19 shots on goal, so hopefully they can even that out as we go along. Also, as he mentioned there at the end, asking about Alex Vlasic kind of taking over that number one defensive role, another young player on this team. He spoke to the media to hear what he had to say after this one.
How would you analyze that game?
I don't know. I think they kind of jumped on us in the first. I don't know what the shots were, but it definitely wasn't pretty. I think they just kind of came with a little bit more jam. But I think we found a way to kind of stick to it. And on a back-to-back, sometimes it's not going to be a pretty game. And we gave ourselves a fighting chance. But I think we just kind of shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit too much.
What's been the common thread? There's a 5-game point streak. It's not nothing.
I think we're all just playing for each other. I mean, I think having the young guys here has helped a lot and bring that energy. It feels like a different environment. Everybody's, like I said, kind of playing for each other and, putting their bodies on the line. I mean, great fight from Docker tonight, stepping up for Frank. So I think there's kind of that brotherhood mentality that we got going on.
Goaltending's been pretty good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both goalies have been playing so well for us and definitely wouldn't be able to have those wins and OT losses without them.
Have you focused on anything different, kind of stepping into the number one defenseman role?
I think I want to obviously contribute as much as I can on both sides of the puck. And, watching Jonesy for, a year and a half, I was able to pick up some things. And the offensive side of the game, I think, is still, doesn't come as naturally for me as it does for him. And so trying to work on that area of my game and just move my feet, try to create my own chances that way.
How do you feel in the power play tonight? It seemed like the first two were threatening and the third one a little bit rougher.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good estimation. Yeah, I think going back for the pucks, losing those faceoffs, it was a pretty, they can pressure up ice, so you're constantly chasing back and forth, and it can be tough to get set up. So I think we definitely have a little bit of room for improvement there, at least for myself.
That's Alex Vlasic after the game. Yeah, he's taking over quarterback in the number one power play unit for the Hawks after the Seth Jones trade. So he's learning in that role. Like he said, he's trying to figure that out. They tried him a little bit at the beginning of the year when Seth Jones was still on the team on the top power play. And so Vlasic tried. He's going to be a big part forward, already locked up to that 6-year deal before the season. He'll be a big piece of this rebuild going forward. I like what he was saying about the young guys. He's crediting them for the energy during this 5-game point streak for the Hawks where they've gone 3-0-2. And saying that they brought the energy. And some of these guys were on the Rockford team the last few years that have been in playoff games in the Calder Cups. So they have that playoff experience, and now they're coming up to the NHL level and playing with some guys that they played with down in Rockford. They have that familiarity, and they brought a nice little energy to this Hawks team up at the NHL level. And now after the trade deadline, some veterans moving out with Taylor Hall earlier last month, and then Seth Jones with the Seth Jones trade about, I think it was a week ago now. So and then Peter Mrazek and Craig Smith getting moved. There's some opportunities now for these young guys to move in and get NHL time, which I think is very valuable because you can't replicate game reps. And these young guys are coming into an environment where the Hawks are not going to make the playoffs this year, but they can get that NHL reps. They're playing some really good teams. I mean, this road trip, they played against, I know Nashville's not high in the standings, but they have a lot of good players on the team, like Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. So they had some big gun guys, big time guys in the league that they're going up against. And then they're going to Colorado, which has been one of the better teams in the league for the last 5-6 years. So it's good experience for them and getting good game reps as well. So hopefully the Hawks can keep getting those learning experiences and trying to get some wins along the way, because this point streak here for this team is something nice and something to build on and give them confidence in what's been a tough couple years when you look at the wins and losses and the point column for this team. So hopefully they can start to make improvements in that going into the offseason, finishing strong. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. We'll hear from Anders Sorensen next, and maybe a little bit of Kyle Davidson after he spoke to the media yesterday. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
From the draw, Forsberg with a shot from the far side. Soderblom got in front of it somehow with the glove and then rolls over on the puck in the crease and holds on. Boy, you wonder how did that stay out of the net. But Soderblom got it just before it crossed the goal line. We get another look at this. Arvid got the cheater portion of his glove on this shot. It tumbled in behind him and laid in the paint of the crease. Alertly, Connor Murphy got a stick in there as well to assist, but Soderblom got the glove on it to pin it to the ice.
It's one of the many great saves from Arvid Soderblom tonight. That one keeping it tied in the third period. He was fantastic, like we've been talking about, and just his ascension this year, how much better his improvement has been, really fun to watch for the Blackhawks. They fall 3-2. Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis here on the postgame show, taking you up till 10:30. Let's hear what interim head coach Anders Sorensen had to say after this one.
Is that just a bad change on that overtime winner?
Yeah, miscommunication there, yeah.
Yeah, whoever Donato was coming off and nobody was ready to come on.
We were ready. Bad change.
Okay. And Nazar okay? That was kind of a, he sounded like it was a little stick check there. It looked like he was almost hurt or something. Was it just a bad swing of the stick there right before the goal?
I think he was a little tired. Yeah. Yeah, it looked like it. Yeah.
That's the perils of 3-on-3, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. How would you assess the overall team game?
First period, we looked sleepy or tired or a combination of the two. Second period was good. Third period, we pushed back. Gave up too many pucks around the lines, which kind of led to rush chances against, which led to too much zone time.
It seemed like the D were very involved offensively tonight. Yeah. Was that focused more than usual, or just kind of the same thing as always?
Oh, I think it's been like that for a while. I think we're trying to be up a little bit more, and a couple of those late pitches maybe wasn't what we want, but yeah.
It's 5-game point streak. What's been the common thread here?
Goaltending's been one of them. We've been able to hang around in the games, right, because of the goaltending, but also we made some plays kind of when games are tight. Been able to score some goals there.
On the goal that was overturned, it looked pretty offside right away, like as it was happening. Are you in favor of the linesman just kind of when it's even close, letting it go and then worrying about it later rather than
Yeah, that's a great question.
Is that the better way to do it?
I think so, yeah. I think it should be like that. But
it's frustrating all the same, I imagine.
Right? Yeah, for sure. But the rule itself, I agree, they should tie go to runner type of thing, right? And then if they want to review it, they can review it, right?
Do you have any takeaways from these three overtimes in terms of, you know, things that could be done differently?
Overall, I think it's more so just understanding that, you know, the marginals to give up some stuff when it's 3-on-3 becomes greater, right? So puck decisions and those tight, you know, those one-on-ones, or if it's 2-on-1 and not getting stuck on the ice are big components of it, yeah.
How do you think Valeno did?
I liked him, yeah. I liked his, had some pop in his step. You know, I thought he was in good spots defensively. I thought he read the game well. I thought he had some good offensive zone touches as well.
And I think it was the second goal, obviously a rough play by Nick. Is that just, you know, just chalk that up to it? It happens sometimes? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the game, right? Yeah.
That was Anders Sorensen, Blackhawks interim head coach, after tonight's 3-2 loss to the Nashville Predators. Yeah, it's slow start again for the Hawks, and it is on a back-to-back, as he said, sleepy, tired. Got it going a little bit in the second period. And then tough in the third. I mean, they just allowed a lot of shots in this game. So tough one for the Hawks. Switching gears a little bit here. I mentioned earlier Nick Lardis scored his 70th goal today in the OHL for the Brantford Bulldogs. And it's just a fantastic year for Nick Lardis, a guy, a winger, a big-time goal scorer, and a bright, bright future for Nick Lardis as he's really rose his prospect stock and pedigree this offseason. And another prospect for the Hawks, a first-round pick last year, Sacha Boisvert, 6th straight game with a goal at the University of North Dakota, so he's having a very good freshman year. If you want to get to know more about him, we have some get-to-know series on our website. If you go to WGNRadio.com and search Get to Know, you'll be able to find it there and learn a little bit more about a younger and a newer Blackhawks prospect. Okay, yesterday was the trade deadline. Kyle Davidson had a very long media session. We played part of it yesterday. Here's a little bit of part two of his thoughts from the Blackhawks post-trade deadline.
But what was your sense of the overall market? It seemed like there were a lot of high-value picks being thrown around.
Yeah, it certainly seemed that way. I don't have a feel for if that's – I couldn't tell you if that's different than in previous years than this year. There were some bigger deals this year, for sure, bigger names moving around, which feels like something that's becoming more and more of an occurrence, I would say, maybe. Maybe it's, I don't know why that is, but yeah, I'd probably agree with that assessment that it felt like there were a few more high value picks being tossed around. We got one in our trade with Florida, as well as a great young player. So yeah, I guess with good players and changing teams, that kind of drums up good return. So
with the Utah trade, would you say it was more like the priority was getting the cap implications of the contract, and you were able to get these prospects with it, or getting those prospects and then the cap implications was the second? But like, what was the main objective there?
It's probably more so the players, but you know, the cap implication is certainly part of it. I think it's part of any deal, but you know, it's, again, it doesn't really change anything for us. It's not like it, you know, alters ambition, alters anything that we had planned going into the summer at all. It was just kind of, you know, that's just how it came about, and it, yeah, we can do that, and you know, it makes sense to get another, you know, a really in-depth look and work with some of these players that there may be something there with. And again, we have a lot of draft capital, not that you throw it away, but we've got a lot of picks before that fifth was ever going to be utilized. And so, you know, that was a small cost in our mind. And then, you know, taking on that Shea Weber contract was also something that was just, you know, it was easy to do for us given our situation next year. And there is only 1 year left. So it's a year that, you know, our obligations are not high right now, but through that and adding the Weber contract in, it does not hold us back from doing anything that we saw as a potential for us.
What's your view of the goalie prospect pool now that you have Spencer Knight? Like, how does this long-term affect Drew Commesso and Adam Gajon?
I don't think it necessarily impacts them. You know, like, goaltenders take time. And I'd say Spencer at 23 and, you know, getting some pro time before, he's more advanced than your average goaltender for sure in his career and in his development. And so it takes goalies time. It takes them a while. And so, you know, I think there's an opportunity for Adam and Drew to continue to develop and continue to play at a level that's really good for their development, and not force us to put them in a position they're not ready for yet. And, you know, we're going to do everything to make them the best goalies they can be. And if they start pushing upward, then, you know, it's up to us to make some decisions either here or down there on what's best to do when that time comes. But we've got to get them there. We've got to get them to the point where they're pushing the NHL level. And, you know, Drew came up and did very well early this year, but it's a long road for goalies. It's a long time before you're fully ready to take that step. And, you know, I don't believe he's quite there yet. He's getting some very good development time now and will do in the future as well. But, you know, it's just about giving the proper runway and development time for those guys to really get comfortable at a level before they're pushing upward.
That was Kyle Davidson yesterday, part of his press conference. I thought it was interesting that last answer, he's talking about their goalie prospects. A lot of people thought were very high on Drew Commesso. He's been a little, he's learning his way in Rockford. So he's developing there. And then Adam Gajon, a pick from a few years ago, is another guy that's kind of far away. So he doesn't think that affects it. He's just trying to address the need at the NHL level now and saying Spencer Knight is very advanced for his age at 23 years old. And I mean, he's just been really, really good. And we've seen that in his first two starts in Arvid Soderblom, 25 years old. So you never know. I mean, last year you look at Arvid Soderblom and he was the odd man out in this rotation, and now he's right there in there. And now a year later, so you never know how things are going to work out for the future and with the prospects. So the Hawks are just adding needs and addressing as well. I think this was something he said yesterday, is that they are gearing more towards trading for maybe more hockey trades, player for player trades, maybe using some of their draft picks to go get bigger players. A lot of the big stars that were going to hit the market, like Mikko Rantanen, are getting traded and extended now, so not a lot of them are hitting the open market. So the Blackhawks are armed with a bunch of different draft picks and ways that they can improve the team, a lot of cap space. So it will be interesting to watch going forward after this trade deadline, but the Hawks have a lot of flexibility. We'll get you set for the Blackhawks next game. When we come back, you're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Now at the blue line, Nylander near side circle. Wings it around, Lehkonen trying to track it down. Riley sends it deep, Cale Makar intercepts. He's got an empty net. It's Valachushkin for the hat trick! Yeah! Throw the chapeau! His second career hat trick on home ice, Valachushkin!
Connor McGahey, Altitude Sports Radio. That is tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Yeah, Hawks at Colorado on Monday. That'll be a tough one for the Hawks. They made some trade deadline moves. They traded away Mikko Rantanen last month in a trade with the Blackhawks and the Hurricanes. They were able to get Marty Natchez in that deal as well. They also added Charlie Coyle from Boston and reacquired Eric Johnson. So a lot of moves for Colorado, who gets stronger. But the Hawks are 2-0 in this series so far this season, winning one at home and one on the road. Last meeting on January 8th, Frank Nazar scored his first goal of the year. So hopefully the Hawks can keep it rolling Monday night, or keep it rolling and extend this point streak into Monday night's game. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Thanks to everyone involved in our broadcast, our engineer, the great Krista Flores, keeping us on air, and our producer, Alan Poppy, doing a great job flying solo tonight. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call from Nashville. Hawks fall in overtime to the Nashville Predators 3-2. I'm Jack Heinrich, always honored to pinch hit for Charlie Meliotis. He should be back on Monday. We'll talk to you then.